Good morning to all of you. It's wonderful to be with a big group on a holy day like this, and hope your Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread have gone very well. Today I'm going to cover one of the lessons of the Days of Unleavened Bread, and it's a very practical one. God's laws teach us all about how to be correct in God's sight. And the Bible also teaches us that we human beings are prone to being incorrect, a chronic problem of being incorrect. Therefore, in order to change from being incorrect to correct, we need to make corrections. Now, let's think of two different definitions of correction. One is the process of just changing from what is incorrect to correct. We speak of an airplane making a course correction. So likewise, when we're veering off the correct path, we need to make a correction and get back on the right path. The other definition for correction is someone telling you that you are incorrect. We say he is correcting us. And that's a definition I'm going to be focusing on this morning. The question is, what is our attitude about receiving correction? And the word correction I'm using in the broadest sense to mean instruction, suggestions, advice, constructive criticism. So we're going to lump all of that under the subject of correction. So the title is Our Attitudes About Correction. Our Attitudes About Correction. The better our attitudes are about correction, the more we're going to grow spiritually. Another subject is giving correction to other people, but that's a whole other subject, and so I'm not getting into that at all. There's a lot to think about before you give someone else advice and correction, and so that's a big subject for another day. What we want to think about is, how do we react when somebody gives us advice, correction, instruction, constructive criticism? The first place, of course, we ought to look for correction is God's Word, the Bible. And I'm going to quote a verse you're familiar with without turning to it. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. We sure don't like reproof by nature. For correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Isn't that what the Days of Unleavened Bread are about? That we're trying to learn to be complete and thoroughly equipped? The Bible serves as a mirror. James talks about that in the first chapter of James. We can't see our faces without a mirror, and likewise, we don't do very well at seeing ourselves without something to serve as a mirror. God corrects us in many other ways besides directly through His Word. For one thing, our own experiences correct us, because when we suffer the consequences for a mistake or something wrong, well, we learn the hard way, but at least we learn. And we get corrected in that way. And God often uses people. What is our attitude when another human being gives us some kind of correction? Well, Hebrews 12 talks about attitudes. And so let's turn there, Hebrews 12. And I'm going to begin in verse 5, which is quoting from Proverbs 3. Of course, Proverbs 3 is a wonderful chapter also. But here in Hebrews 12 and verse 5, it says, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons." And so first of all, a good parent out of love is going to correct and teach his or her child. And he wants us to think of our relationship with God as a father to a child. And quoting Proverbs 3, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, and nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives." And so it is done out of love, and we need to recognize that and appreciate that act of love. We like the soft side of love better than the tough side of love, but we need to appreciate all of God's love. It is for our good and our future and our spiritual growth and all of that. Now, the reaction of some people is, well, I don't mind getting correction from God. I just don't like getting correction from people. And so we think we love God's correction, but we despise the correction that comes from people. But actually, God corrects us in many ways, and he uses people. And quite often, whether God is directly inspiring a person or whether God is just sort of allowing it, we need to look at almost all instruction and correction as potentially coming from God. Because God does use people to help other people. And that's often how it comes. And so we need to apply this and try to have that attitude whenever it comes. And it goes on to explain that if you don't have chastening, you're not really a legitimate son. Verse 10 says that when God does it, it's for our profit and our benefit. It's certainly not for some selfish purpose. And then in verse 11, it says, now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. We can probably all say amen to that. The first reaction is to feel hurt and discouraged. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. And isn't that what we're supposed to be concerned about, is what is good for us in the long run rather than the short run? So we give up a momentary pleasure for what is good for us in the long run for our growth. And so don't discount any kind of correction as being invalid just because it doesn't come directly from God. The book of Proverbs is marvelous. It is full of wisdom, and so much of the book is telling us to seek instruction, to seek correction, to seek reproof, to appreciate those things, that a wise man, a wise woman, a wise boy, a wise girl is going to appreciate it because he really wants to learn. He wants knowledge and understanding and wisdom. And so we need to appreciate it and listen carefully and consider it. The book of Proverbs also talks about how a fool hates correction. Proverbs 12 and verse 1 says, he who hates correction is stupid. But there's quite a bit about the fools hating correction. It's like, kill the messenger. And of course, there are plenty of dictators in the world who would kill somebody just for disagreeing. Even when we don't go so far as to kill the messenger, the reaction tends to be to discredit the messenger. Well, who is he? And look at him and discredit the messenger in some way. Just to illustrate how human nature doesn't like correction, it got many of God's prophets killed. It got John the Baptist killed. It got Jesus Christ killed. And that's going to be a major reason for persecution of the church in the future. It's because people are going to realize the church is telling them that they're wrong. And so it is a major part of human nature to not want to be told what's wrong. Let me give you a list quickly here of wrong reactions. And these are things we all tend to be guilty of. These are what just comes naturally. Number one, outright denial. Ain't true. Number two, making excuses for what we've done. Number three, blame somebody else. Mr. Armstrong used to joke about how Adam blamed Eve and Eve blamed the serpent, but the serpent didn't have a leg to stand on. But he liked to talk about that tendency to blame others. Number four, dismissing it because it's not totally accurate. In other words, you did not size me up accurately. That wasn't exactly right. So in other words, I just dismissed the whole thing. Oftentimes, what somebody else says is partly correct and partly incorrect. So the reaction of each of us should be, is there some truth in this? If there is even a tiny bit of truth in what is said, that's what I ought to focus on and work about changing that part. Another one, rejecting it because it wasn't said tactfully. Well, I shouldn't pay any attention to this person because he did it so bluntly and it wasn't a very nice Christian way, and he even used a couple of cuss words when he was talking to me. And so there's no point in paying any attention to him. And number six, the messenger has no real credentials or authority. Well, who is he? He's got no authority to come correct me. Number seven, well, the messenger has got faults. In fact, I think he's got more faults than I do. So who is he to correct me? Does that invalidate what he said totally? And another one, I just don't like the messenger. And so I don't give a hoot about what he says because I just don't like him. So how do we react? We really do need to think about being very receptive to correction, regardless from where it comes. I know it has come from surprising sources in my life, sometimes people that were not in the church, but I had to realize there was some truth in what was said. Let's go to Jeremiah 10. Jeremiah 10, it really sums this up well. And there's a lot of good stuff in this chapter. And in verse 23, it's like a prayer to God. O Eternal, I know that the way of man is not in himself. Bob Rainer gave a sermonette recently talking about how we may be overemphasizing self-examination. You know, you can't just learn everything by sitting around meditating and kind of looking within yourself. Most insights come from outside. Of course, once we get correction, then we need to examine ourselves to decide, okay, does this fit or not? If it fits, if the shoe fits, well, then I better wear it. Verse 23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. O Eternal, correct me, but with justice, not in your anger, lest you bring me to nothing. And some people are afraid to pray something like this, like, well, God's just going to automatically overcorrect them. But don't be afraid to pray this prayer, because as we do, as we mean it, and as we react in a receptive way, welcoming it and showing God that we truly do want to learn and grow, we will grow. We'll do a better job of growing. And as parents, we certainly need to teach these principles to our children, because our children have human nature and they're not going to like to be corrected, but we need to help them to understand that whether it's a teacher or a coach or whoever it is, that the purpose of life is to learn and to grow. And how we hear it may not always sound nice, but we can certainly take advantage of it and build on it and really grow in knowledge and understanding and wisdom and character.